Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Good morning, everybody. It is the 2nd of April, 7:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Caring, compassion, community, and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Jared's at the helm. Good morning, Jared.
Hello.
Oh, Jared's on the phone.
Oh, he's on the phone. Okay, we've got it. We do have a phone interview this morning. It's going to be fabulous.
Yep. So, and Linda, who's over here just making me giggle.
Well, good morning. It's great. It's a beautiful Friday. The current temperature, as you look outside, step outside, is currently 51 degrees. Absolutely beautiful. Clear skies. Looks like it's going to be sunny today with a high of 79. Oh, my God. Does it make you feel like you want to go tan your legs? Mostly clear tonight with a low of 49. Tomorrow calls for 75 with overnight lows of 47. Sunday, sunny and 73. Now, see here, this is, Carl, this is how the weather, changes. Because sunny of 73, last time it said slight chance of showers. Well, in this forecast, sunny 73, mostly clear. Now, the slight chance of showers does move into Monday, which is a high of 65 and overnight lows of 43. And then Tuesday, sunny again with a 73. But we're really focused on this weekend, which is going to be beautiful and clear.
Easter weekend.
Absolutely. Easter, a day of just a beautiful day. Beautiful day of lots of things that we'll talk about later. The weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, locally owned, operated, senior and veteran discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. And is it my imagination, or is it the one and only Amy from Haven Humane that's with us this morning?
I am with you this morning.
Oh, what are you doing?
Well, I'm filling in for Jim, who's been filling in for me, so wacky world.
When are you all going to start coming back to the studios?
Hopefully soon.
We've been inoculated here.
Yeah.
Nobody's gotten COVID out of Free Fire Radio.
Yeah, we are having withdrawals. Anyway, it's so good to hear your voice. And what is happening? Who is our pet of the week? What is the pet of the week? And everything else going on.
Well, the pet of the week is Teddy. Teddy is my favorite shelter dog at the moment. He is a 6-year-old Mastiff Shepherd mix. So when I say this, that Teddy is not a small dog, I mean that. He weighs about 100 pounds. Actually, 102 to be exact. But Teddy is, you can't convince him he's not a lap dog, unfortunately, because his size is a little uncomfortable. But Teddy is like the perfect companion dog / like protector of anybody who takes the time to, like, really fall in love with him. He is super goofy. He's about 6 years old, so he's technically one of our seniors. So Teddy is a little bit slower going, so he would actually fit into just about any household. Unfortunately, he doesn't do well with other dogs, but he loves people, kids included. He's just really like a big teddy bear, which he really gets that name. He's just a big, chunky hunk of burning love who is looking for a couch, basically.
All right. So we can see his picture on go online at Haven Humane and
yes,
okay,
yes, and I can even see one too today. Because of the PAL funds, his adoption fee is half off, and then because we have such amazing people in this community, someone has actually sponsored the rest of his adoption fee. So Teddy is fully sponsored, no cost to adopt him besides those $10 licensing fee, and he is just so deserving and so happy. And he's just one of the easiest dogs to kind of handle, regardless of his size. He's just kind of easygoing. He wants to walk right next to you. He wants to just constantly be staring into your eyes.
That sounds like some kind of relationship going, Amy.
Yes, he's a very, very sweet dog.
Great, great. Okay, and
I like him chunky, so he's perfect.
That's right. You've always been a chunky dog person.
I always liked chunky.
Okay. Okay, Amy, well, thanks so much. And how do people go down and adopt your little furry friend there?
So we're still doing adoptions by appointment, which I'm actually not convinced is going to change too much, even when things start opening back even more. Because of this process, we've really found a lot of success doing things by appointment. We can spend a lot more time individually with each family. And it's people who are really serious about adopting or making appointments, and animals are leaving the shelter pretty quickly. So, yeah, so you just need to call Haven, 241-1653. Come on down. We'll get you a time slot. You can come in and into a meet and greet room. And yeah, so you just would need to make appointments at this point. But definitely call, get some more information. If he sounds like he's the perfect fit for you, you know, give us a call.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Amy. Always good to hear your voice.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you. This Friday, first Friday, means businesses will be open later. The old, you know, the Arts Council here at the old City Hall is extended hours from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. They're going to have some advertising. They're going to have some music over there and with local artists. But Riverfront Playhouse is going to be open, so you can go in and take a look at that. So it's downtown. The first Friday, businesses stay open till 8 o'clock at night.
Let's talk about this morning. Get prepared, because we do have some interesting call interviews coming in. One of which has been very interesting on the Asian American
the violence
that's been happening.
It seems like the violence that's been aimed at them lately, and like you just said. Jensen Victoria, who has been our guest on a couple of occasions, she's from L.A., used to live up here, but now she's from L.A. and is going to be calling in like about 5 minutes. So,
well, we received, yeah. You know, we go into that topic. We received, talking about, I had sent out an invitation to some friends of mine that are Asian Americans and said, now tomorrow you may want to listen in or chime in. And I got a text back, and I'm not going to read it verbatim, but the text was that another friend of theirs that happened to be of the Asian American community, I believe in this town, grandmother.
In fact, why don't you read that?
I don't want to read it verbatim, but it was about the grandmother being at a grocery store here. I believe could have been someplace else, but they...
It was at Rayleigh's.
It was at Rayleigh's.
But it could have been a different Rayleigh's.
Yes.
But we think it was here.
And she, came from an era of...
She had been in the...
Internment camps
for World War II. So she was walking across the parking lot at Rayleigh's.
And somebody just started screaming at her. I don't know what the explanatives or what the words were, but the person who was the daughter of this woman called my other friend who is an Asian American, and just, you know, this is happening, and I know that we're in a world of social media, but it's happening close to home. And I've had my friend who has said that there are times when she's in this town where she feels like when maybe a truck pulls up next to her and she's not feeling safe.
Part of that could be from her just feeling because of the outward facade of the truck. But that's enough. I mean, that's enough if you don't feel safe because of a variety of things that are written on the truck in this.
And this is so strange, but not really, because we know that we've gone through 2 years of our world feeling like it's been turned upside down. Like, it's 2021. I mean, you know, we just got through watching a couple series of a show called Warrior, and it was the same producers and writers of Banshee. So it's pretty, you know, brutal. But it really is about the Asian Americans or Asians that came over from China through San Francisco, and how they dealt with, you know, the Chinatown, the building of Chinatown.
It was loosely based on real facts. Like, there was a riot in Chinatown in 1877 that caused four deaths and $1 million worth of damage. And it was against the Chinese, because the Chinese were working at lower wages, than the locals, the Irish, other non-Asian groups, including blacks. So there was racial problems all the time. However, Jensine is going to address this and other things that when we were talking yesterday, she brought up something I had never even thought of, but I think it also is something that needs to be talked about. But how did you sleep last night?
All right. So, you know, we went out of town over the weekend, and just, I'll tell you what, when you really notice how well you rest is when you go out of town and stay in a motel or a hotel or something. You just don't get the same kind of rest until you come back into your sleep number bed and realize that your body goes into a different state of relaxation. And we're very, very excited because on April 17th, we have our brand new 360 smart bed delivered. We decided to upgrade. We have an M7 that we've been sleeping on for, 12 years, 10 years, something like that now.
Maybe 6 years.
I don't know. It just feels like, you know, the sleep that we've had since that bed, we've had from Sleep Number that we got right here in Reading, has been wonderful. And last night, my sleep number setting is 45.
My sleep number setting was 55 last night. And right now, we've talked about how proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. And we're introducing a new Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed Queen, now only at $1,499, plus special financing, free premium delivery and setup when you add a base. That ends Monday, only at our Sleep Number store, the Target Shopping Center, or other Sleep Number stores, or sleepnumber.com if you cannot get to the store, but you should go to the store and talk to Steve and the rest of the people. They are such experts on it. Now, this offer is subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See sleepnumber.com for details. That's Sleep Number. We'll be right back.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State, right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local, We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM Talk Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. Phone line 206-0545-67. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Hop in our chat room there. Today, the 2nd of April, 7:21 in the morning, and the weather is...
Brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, currently 52 degrees. And on the phone with us this morning, we have a very special guest. Thanks for calling in. Very timely.
Jensen Victoria. Good morning, Jensen.
Good morning. Can you guys all hear me?
Yes, we
yep,
can.
We can. Now,
oh, wonderful.
Jensen has been on our show before and used to live here in Redding. Is now, well, now she's in Texas, because she wanted to wear cowboy hats and boots and spurs.
Oh, I thought you were calling from Southern California, but that's great. So, Texas. Now, from my understanding, you've been in before, and I think I was here, and you were here as a spokesman for Black Lives Matter. But you're today talking about something that's very topical in the fact that our Asian American community at large has been under attack.
Yes. Yes, and there's so much to cover, but the AAPI community is very large. It's very, very broad, right? It makes up a lot of ethnicities. So, you know, before going to this, I do also want to say I am one person, and, you know, the community isn't monolithic in a sense that we're very diverse, and I only make up about six ethnicities. So I definitely don't cover the broad spectrum as a whole, but I will definitely, I'm very honored to be here and to support my AAPI community as well.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yes, and I've been on the show before,
yes.
But, you know, I'm a first born generation Asian American. My parents came from Malaysia, but I am mixed with different descents. So I'm Filipino, Malay, Chinese, Polynesian, so Samoan, Tongan, and I have some Guamanian descent as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we can safely say that there is a Asian background there.
There is. But I grew up in a very diverse community, you know, and I was telling Carl about this. Growing up, I had a Hispanic nanny who's Mexican. And then at my school, it was basically half Asian and half Black. And so we were very tight-knit. We were like family. And I grew up around a lot of different cultures where I considered people of different backgrounds my family, truly. And so, you know, this is always a great topic for me. And my studies are in international relations and diversity studies. And so I love learning about people. And I love understanding why people think the way they do.
Well, you know, it's... when the virus came out, and it was called the Wuhan virus, and et cetera, et cetera, there was a reported higher number of incidents aimed at Asian Americans, and a lot of people thought it was because of the fact that the virus originated in China. Was this a true thing, or was it just that it was happening all the time, but it was just highlighted all of a sudden?
Yeah, you know, there is a long history of racial discrimination against Asians in America, right? Just like how there's a history with slavery. You know, there's so many laws that excluded Asians throughout the years. And, of course, I can go through that history. And, you know, a few of them, you know, there were internment camps, right? And so if we look at some of the history before the narrative, you know, of COVID-19 crisis, there was, what people would call, in the 19th century, you know, white nativists spread xenophobic propaganda about Chinese uncleanliness in San Francisco. And then, of course, this passage fueled the infamous Chinese Exclusion Act, right?
Right.
Where people were barred, to immigrate solely based on their race. And then, of course, in the 20th century, American officials in the Philippines, you know, there was like a formal colony of the U.S. They said that Filipinos were unclean and uncivilized. And so, and then in 1942, there was Executive Order 9066 to incarcerate people under suspicion as enemies in internment camps. And so we keep going further, and then there was even, you know, some laws to stop women from coming in based on the fact that people thought they were prostitutes and because they were Asian. And so we're seeing this discrimination based on color, but also based on their gender as well. So there's such an intersection between Asian racism is very complex. When you look at it, there's a very long history that goes beyond model minority politics, right? Which we can go in. I don't know how much time we're going to have today, but
we got till 8 o'clock.
It's a broad topic.
Well, yeah. You know, one of the things that I was researching was there were riots in 1877 in San Francisco, based strictly on race. But it wasn't just whites attacking Asians; it was blacks. And the fact was the Chinese community had been imported for cheap labor, and then the corporations or the people that were hiring them or brought them in. They were sympathizing with the Irish and other groups, but yet they kept hiring the cheap labor, which caused all types of consternation here. And part of what you said is that only men could come into the country. And so then if women were coming in, it was obviously for, quote, sex, because men couldn't bring their wives and families with them, just themselves. It was a perfect cauldron of things that were being set up to cause problems like this.
Right. And then you also have to look at World War II, right, where there's this unknown number of so-called Asian comfort women that were kidnapped by Japanese soldiers, right, from China, Korea, and the Philippines, and then they're transferred not to freedom, but then to the U.S. military. So to this day, sex work in camp towns around U.S. military bases throughout Asia, it gives GIs the illusion of access, you know, and permission to Asian women's bodies. And we're seeing this in media. We're seeing this perpetuated through, you know, phrases like, me love you long time. And, you know, I can also talk to you about my experience as an Asian American woman, you know, growing up hearing these things, but never really being given empowering language, right, to identify this as something that was detrimental, not just to me, but to Americans, because we're not realizing it's become, you know, racism has become what we call subtle is actually quite obvious. It's just become normalized, right? And that's why we don't recognize it. We don't have language for it because it's become like peanut butter and jelly, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to have to take a quick break. We're here with Jensine Victoria, who's an international studies lady, has been on our show several times. And I've always loved having her on the show because she's so articulate. And she's got a strong viewpoints based on fact as opposed to just strong viewpoints based
on history.
On how I feel,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense.
Thank you.
Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by SST Oil. SST Oil wants to remind you it's getting to be fire season. Do you have defensible space around your home and your business? Do you have all of your, God forbid that you have to leave, do you have all those important papers and medical, the meds, the stuff for your animals? Do you have all of that available and ready to be picked up if you had to leave quickly? SST Oil is on the front line with our firefighters. They are there providing the fuel they need, the jet fuel for the aircraft, the diesel for the dozers, the gasoline for chainsaws to keep the camps, to keep camps running during these fires. That's SST Oil. They've been here in Redding since 1967, employee owned, remembering their past and looking to the future. That's SST Oil. We'll be right back.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is RC from Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. For this month, we're reviewing Arturo Fuentes Hemingway Classic. With curves of a supermodel, this Perfecto has a superbly balanced, toothy, and attenuated Cameroon wrapper and pairs exquisitely with a complex filler and binder that indulges the palate with citrus, coffee, cocoa, and cedar. Come down to the shop for your Arturo Fuente Hemingway Classic today, 2143 Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebaugh. Phone lines are 605-4567. And we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We're on the line with Jensine Victoria. And Jensine, I understand because you actually have a job, you may not be able to stay till 8 o'clock.
Yes, I will try my best. So we'll just see how much time we end up with.
Okay. Well, let's go. I want to go to what happened in Atlanta, and the majority of the people killed there were Asian Koreans and Korean Americans. And the police have said that, you know, after looking at everything, they don't think it was a hate crime, based on the fact that they were Asian Yet you brought up something that was really interesting when we were talking yesterday about.
Yeah, and it's not new, you know. So, you know, what I have to say is, and this is what the continuation of what we were talking about for those that are just tuning in, is that the hypersexualization and fetishizing of Asian women plays a huge part in part of the violence we face as a community, and it is racism. They are the same thing. And so as we were talking about the history of how Asian women have been perceived based on, you know, post-war World War II, all these exclusion acts and these things that target and actually stereotype women as sexual temptation, that is all part of, you know, not just sexism, but it intersects with racism. And so, you know, the officer made this narrative that he was having a bad day, but we also need to look at Captain Jay Baker of the Cherokee Sheriff, of the Sheriff's Office, where several photos show the law enforcer was promoting t-shirts with the slogan COVID-19 imported virus from China, and it was just meant to mock Chinese people. So we have to look at who was also spinning the narrative and what their history was when we're looking at how, you know, who interprets racism and who gets to call what racism based on what criteria, right? And so, you know, the common denominator between all of these victims were that they were Asian. And he specifically went out of his way to target Asian massage parlors. He didn't go to strip clubs and target women of other ethnicities, which he could have, because there are other avenues where you, as a sexual addict, can get services. But he specifically targeted Asian women. And so that kind of, it speaks for itself. I don't think that there's anything else needing to be said other than the need, which this is so prevalent in media, is that people still don't understand it as a hate crime. And that to me is baffling, because I grew up being targeted based on my race, based on my gender, and seeing that people still don't recognize this as a hate crime speaks for itself, that it's become so normalized in America to fetishize women that it's okay, and we don't think it's racist.
The attacks on Asian Americans isn't just it's not just a white thing, for sure.
Yes, and so we have to look at the root issue, though. And so, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. You know, how did xenophobia start? It didn't just start from Trump's tweets, right? You know, we were talking about the history before of people thinking Asians are unclean. They're unfit. They're this. They shouldn't come into the country. So that started years and years ago, back in the 1800s. But then we talk about why there are some minority rifts, right? Because we're seeing some community, of course, there's going to be cases where there are minority on minority crime. But that is not the prevalent narrative. We've never seen, for example, the black community as a majority suppressing all Asians, right? Never in history have we had black lawmakers suppress Asians. We've never had Hispanic lawmakers suppress Asians. So to say that this is the overarching narrative wouldn't be the case. In fact, I've been seeing a lot of solidarity between minorities and minorities in this overarching, you know, this whole pandemic. We've been trying to solidify and just say, like, hey, we are together. We're going to unite over this. So, you know, we have to understand the roots. Why has white supremacy, the history of white supremacy and racism, created long-standing rifts between communities of color? And there are a lot of factors that have driven these tensions. I think we had a discussion about this yesterday.
Well, that's it. Is the, you know, the fact is you lived in a community where it was, you know, half your school was black and half was Asian. But the that those laws you talked about, and I mean, they went up into the 40s when they interred many of the Japanese people here on the coast. And put them in internment camps, yet didn't do it with the Germans on the other side, on the other coast. But, you know, since then, it appears, and again, this is just on the surface, is that the Asian community has done very well. That the, you know, if you look at you know, universities and university graduates and all of this, and the overall, it seems like overall the Asian community has done very well in the United States.
Yeah, and that is such a false myth, you know, because, like I said, the Asian community is comprised of so many different ethnicities. You know, you get into Mian, Hmong, you're looking at Vietnamese, Thai, Cambodian, Chinese, you know, and so when we start really getting into statistics, it's very hard to measure, you know, and our history, there's this seeking to belong. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people in the Asian community, some of my friends and different people, and I keep hearing the same phrase, we feel like the perpetual foreigner. You know, I get this a lot when I go anywhere, doesn't matter. Store, they'll say, where are you from? We're having a very casual conversation. It's almost like, Carl, I'm meeting you for the first time. Hey, Carl, where are you from? You're like, oh, you know, I'm from Reading. People accept it. When I say I'm from L.A., which is true, I was born in California, and I say L.A., they go, oh, no, really, where are you from? I'm like, L.A. They're like, no, where are you from? I'm like, are you trying to ask me about my ethnicity? Because that's a completely different conversation. You know, and it's this feeling of, wait, you don't belong here. Like, let me actually get to the bottom of where you're from, because you're not from here. And I'm like, well, didn't you come from, like, the Mayflower? Like, you know, I'm like, where did you come from? England? You know, Germany? Like, you know, like, can I trace your heritage? Were you from Ireland? That's where you're from. You know, if we were to flip it, it would seem so bizarre. But
you know,
we've made it so
difficult. You know what? Here's what I'm guilty of. If I see people that have an accent, or are different, but what I usually say is, hey, do you go to Bethel? Yeah, that's what I say.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't ask them you know, what country they came from. I say, hey, do you go to Bethel? Is that wrong to ask?
Is that narrow-minded?
Because especially on Reddit, you know,
yeah.
Like if you hear someone,
why are you here? Yeah.
I think that's very, I would be like, hey, are you an international student? And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's more so, like, I have an American accent, right?
You do.
I grew up, I was educated, I basically only know one language, English, which is terrible. Like, I know, I can speak some conversational Spanish and French, and I know some sign language, and I know a little bit of Chinese, but it's not, I just know how to, like, bargain, so I can buy stuff and go shopping, you know?
That's pretty good.
But, yeah, I mean, the basics. But it's so interesting to see that there's this perpetual foreigner thing, and then there was this rush to assimilate because Chinese people and Asian people were so excluded historically that it was almost a survival mode. We mm-hmm. need to assimilate, right? And so this model minority stereotype was birthed out of white supremacy, and it was this need to keep our heads low, to be quiet, not to make any trouble. So rather than defining us, the model minority was meant to really define African Americans as deficient and inferior to white people by using Asian Americans as a proxy or a pawn. So in other words, it was meant to distort the minority experience when actually all minorities were oppressed under this system of Jim Crow and that whole era and the Exclusion Acts and all of this white supremacy era, right, where we're still trying to pick up the pieces from, because unfortunately it's a part of our ugly history in America that we all kind of get drafted into when we're born in this country, whether we're Asian, Black, white, Hispanic, we're kind of drafted into this history, right? We're born into it because this is what happened. And so this model minority stereotype is also part of that history, and we have to recognize how that translates in how we think of each other, you know, that Chinese people never had to fight for anything they had. They're the model minority. They're successful. When actually a lot of times we not, you know, kind of as a people have been silent on issues because of the pressure to assimilate, to become white. But when I talk to my friends, they're like, our skin is too yellow to be white. And to other minorities, we're too light to be considered minority. So it's almost like, where do we fit? Where do we belong? And there's this erasure or exclusion, you know? And so it's a very interesting place to be situated.
Okay, we got to take a break. The thing, though, I want to ask you is there was a bill that was introduced into in Sacramento that the Asian community almost totally opposed about on bringing back affirmative action and exclusion. It was almost like an exclusion act. Are you familiar with that?
Which bill was that?
You know, I cannot tell you which one it was, but what it was it was to give preference in the in college and universities, and I know that a lot of people in the Asian community felt like, well, this is just another exclusion act that is going to cut back on our chances of getting into universities in California. You may have been out of there for that. I'll try and find it during the break. But that's essentially what it was. And it was the kind of thing that was felt like that you're, again, favoring one group over another group. And the amount of the people from the Asian, you know, American community that have achieved in colleges and universities and been admitted and have done well has really been stupendous. So this was one of the things that this bill that people were afraid of. But I'll try and find that during the break, and if I don't, we'll just come back and address something else. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. It's gotten some of the highest ratings by the Centers for Medicaid and Medicaid Services and Medicare Services, including heart attack care, emergency care, preventative care, and more. All of this is at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts there. 7:46 in the morning on the 2nd of April.
This is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
What is a hero? A hero serves when no one else is ready to. A hero helps everyone, never asking for any praise. They stand ready to do whatever is needed. They have picked up the mantle of heroism when we have needed it the most, and their tireless dedication can never be appreciated enough. We want to thank all of our local heroes. We could not get through these times without their courage. We thank you for everything that you do.
Over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean is a family-owned business. They offer only the highest quality service. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
9.9 million Americans misused prescription drugs, with most of the prescription drugs coming from family and friends, often from medicine cabinets.
The National Prescription Drug Take-Back Day addresses this serious public health and safety issue.
Clean out your medicine cabinets and bring your unused, outdated, and unwanted prescription drugs
to the Reading City Hall, Saturday, April 24th, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. For info, call 241-5958 or visit chemicalpeople.org.
And welcome back to our morning show here, 7:50 in the morning. This is Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, Your Talk Radio. With us on the line this morning, we know we have a limited time with Jensine Victoria. Welcome back to our program. We've been talking about the uptick in what's been happening with Asian American culture, along with, with this uptick again of crime that's been happening and assaults. So I had a question for you, Jensine. Is there one particular, for the culmination, like a knee jerk or something that happened that all of a sudden you felt this, a shift? Is it just been, coming to a head for a particular reason, or for people tuning in that really haven't really been paying attention? I mean, just give us a little bit of a scenario of what your thoughts are regarding this, all of a sudden, this sudden outrage.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the outrage has been silent oppression, right? And it's not that it hasn't been happening, because, like I said, and we went through a history, so if you're just tuning in, it'd be nice to rewind and listen to the beginning of our talk, is that there's been a long history of oppression because, like I said, in our country, that's how our soil was formed, right? It was formed on white supremacy and a lot of laws that restricted access and equality to so many different groups, not just Asians. But, of course, the rise in COVID-19 and then following, the events with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, it really paved the way for us to be, I think, as a community, to be more brave about speaking out. You know, when China virus first came out, the tweets that happened because of Trump's terminology, and by the way, the hashtag was used so many times, it says it was increased 10 times compared to before he posted it on Twitter. And then 50% of those users also tweeted the hashtag Chinese virus or China virus with other anti-Asian hashtags, which were racist. And so, yes, part of that had to do with the tweets from the Trump administration. But the other part of it had to do with what was going on, right? In 2020, there were a lot of, racial spotlights, and people were actually talking about it. And it didn't just pave the way for the Asian American community to start speaking out again, which we have historically before. But also I saw a rise with Hispanic community where they started speaking out as well. And so it's not just that we're speaking out right now, but I think that we're learning to develop more language. And I'm so proud of the younger generation in the Asian American community, because they are very verbal and very bold and very brave. And we're seeing people in high school, people who are just graduating, taking on this cause and, like, becoming leaders and speaking out. So it's very encouraging.
Would you say there's racism in the Asian American community?
I would say that there is racism everywhere, right? No one's immune.
I mean, nobody's immune from this, right?
Right, and no one is immune from having racial biases, and we talked about that in another talk.
Yeah.
You know, that there's this show on Netflix called 100 Humans, and it studies all kinds of biases, not just racial biases, but biases against people who are overweight, biases against people who are older, biases against people who are, if they have mental disabilities or anything like that. It's a show that shows implicit bias. So they'll be testing you to, like, find a blue ball, and you think that you're finding a blue ball, but they're testing your bias based on how close you scan to someone or, you know, how long you look at something. And so it's so interesting. I love watching shows like that. But we all as humans are subject or should I say, we're vulnerable to developing biases based on how we grow up and, you know, what we're exposed to and what we educate ourselves with. And so that's why it's so important to have conversations like these, because all of us are part of the change. Carl, you're part of the change. And so are, and your name is Linda, right?
Yes.
Yes, and Linda, yes. You're part of the team. We are all part of the solution with all of these issues, with racism in particular. We need everyone to be at the table. And so it's so important to understand that.
Well, you know, the thing also is that since, you know, racism goes across all races, that being able to talk about it and be able to say, hey, you know, there was a time in this country when laws were passed and things were done, and it was official. It was, you know, at the federal level. And it's one thing to have it at a county level, but it's something completely different to have it at a federal level to strike out at somebody. And the only thing I can say is that, or that I surmise, is that there's more, and there's been so much of an effort made over the last several years to, you know, to address problems that are out there. And, you know, to highlight problems. You know, to me, the Asian, okay, this is, I'm sure, a bias. The Asian American community, to me, when I picture them, industrious, smart, educated, you know, those kind of things.
Community.
And strong family. I mean,
yes.
And perhaps that's a bias on my part, but that is what I, you know, that's what I've observed. So
family oriented.
And yet, like you said, there's other people with other biases.
Right, and it's all based on who you grew up around, right, and what you're exposed to and how you experience people. So there's so many different factors, you know, and of course, you know, some people are more exposed to the Asian community than others. And so it's really important to just do studies and kind of like look at what is the Asian American community as a whole voicing right now. How can we stand behind them? And I don't have much time left, but I did want to add that, you know, if you do experience any racism or you witness it or you see it, to one, report it. Two, if you're able to and you feel safe to address it verbally, do so and just say, hey, that's inappropriate. That's not okay. Even if it's a joke, like, hey, that's not okay. It's not funny. Even just deflecting, even though it seems small, taking actually not just deflecting but addressing it and saying, hey, like, that's not okay. That's actually racist. You know, if somebody's not able to speak up for themselves.
Well, that's what you do. Everybody, you should do that for anybody that's being bullied, is to step in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I say that with, you know, when I talk about, you know, racism against black people, anyone that you see being mistreated, of course, we should do that. But, you know, in the case of the Asian American community, recognizing what is racist, because I think a lot of people weren't recognizing, you know, that fetishizing of women is racist, you know, saying me love you long time. Like, people think it's a joke, but it's actually, it actually ties into that narrative, right, of sexualization of Asian women. So realizing what's appropriate and what's not and how it actually, even just jokes, can harm the Asian American community long term.
Long term? Okay.
Yeah.
Jesney,
absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I reached out to her her a couple of weeks ago after the shootings in Atlanta. And Jensen said, well, you know what, give me a couple of weeks here, because this is, you know, this has really affected not just me but many other people. And then, you know, and like I do, I kind of like put it on another burner, and then you called yesterday. So I'm so glad you called. So we're able to have you on again.
Thank you.
Yes.
Have you gone?
Thank you for having me.
Oh, yeah. Hey, have you gone to a rodeo yet?
I have not. The Texas just opened up, so okay. I did hear that there are rodeos. We'll see when that starts to happen in Texas.
Well, we're having one up here in Redding. Our Redding Rodeo's on, so make your trip back up.
And Red Bluff Roundup. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jensen.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
When we come back, Congressman Doug LaMoffel is joining us on the phone, of course. I think the part that bothered me about this elderly Asian woman was assaulted in New York. I think which is horrible enough, broke her pelvis. I mean, did everything. But there were people standing around that didn't do anything. They didn't run out and start screaming and yelling and trying to bring attention
to this. Or how about dive bombing the guy doing it, whoever it was?
Well, but this guy, you don't have to do that, but you know, just letting somebody get beat in front of you, I just find it abhorrent. Anyway, gotta run. We'll be right back after the news.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Pandemic economic recovery is underway and will likely gain momentum in the coming weeks and months. American employers added 916,000 jobs last month. The unemployment rate fell from 6.2 to 6%. The White House appears to be backing away from describing President Biden's $2.2 trillion spending proposal as an infrastructure bill. The change comes after a reporter reminded Press Secretary Jen Psaki that only 5% of the Biden plan would actually go toward infrastructure projects.
We're actually selling it as a once-in-a-century or once-in-a-generation investment in partly our infrastructure, but partly industries of the future.
Republicans complain the plan relies on tax hikes and more borrowing. At least 51 people are dead in a horrific train wreck in eastern Taiwan. Authorities say it's the island's worst ever train rail-related disaster, more than 100 people injured. It is Good Friday, and in the Holy Land, the faithful are marking the solemn day.
Last year, Jerusalem was under a strict lockdown, with sacred sites observed by small groups of priests, often behind closed doors. It was a stark departure from previous years, when tens of thousands of pilgrims would descend on the city's holy sites. This week, religious sites are open to a limited number of faithful. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre is open to visitors and expecting a few dozen. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
Wall Street is closed in observance of Good Friday. Yesterday, the S&P 500 index closed above the 4,000 level for the first time ever, trading to resume on Monday with the Dow at 33,153. By the way, most banks and the post office are open today. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I have two dogs, Sam and Bailey. Both are golden retrievers. Poor Sam, he was a mess. Always itching, his paws were soaking wet all day from just constant licking. He had bald spots on his back. I just don't like putting shots and steroids into your dog all the time.
DinoVite.com.
DinoVite is nutrition. Probably 2 weeks after he started DinoVite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent. It's amazing stuff. Since Bailey has been 12 weeks old, he's been a DinoVite dog. And he has zero issues today. He won't eat his food without DinoVite. When I get out the DinoVite, my dogs actually salivate, like I'm getting them a treat. They drool over it. DinoVite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my DinoVite from DinoVite.com.
The Dutch Prime Minister's political future is in doubt after lawmakers passed a motion of censure against him, filed by two parties in his own coalition. Lawmakers upset by the Prime Minister's conduct during talks on building a governing coalition. The BBC's Anna Holligan is in The Hague.
We talk about Mark Rutte surviving this, but actually he still has to find people who are prepared to govern alongside him in the next coalition. And there are no guarantees he'll succeed in doing that. So this vote of disapproval is slightly stronger than that vote of censure, means that they don't really trust him anymore, that the way in which he handled this whole affair has undermined public trust, basically.
The political crisis comes against a backdrop of rising numbers of coronavirus infections, despite a lockdown that has lasted for many months. News and analysis at townhall.com. A Texas restaurant chain is offering up a recipe for employee loyalty.
Lone Star Burger icon Whataburger is thanking employees who worked through the pandemic and the recent icy weather with over $90 million in bonuses. And if that weren't enough, the company's also showing gratitude to the 46,000 workers for their extraordinary service this year that helped set company performance records. They're going to give them extra mile bonuses, emergency pay, and a doubling of their 401k plan matching for 2020. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The British government will ban international arrivals from four more countries, Bangladesh, Kenya, Pakistan, and the Philippines, amid concerns over new virus variants. However, it's opted against including France and other European nations that are facing a resurgence of the virus. The Department for Transport says a number of countries on the so-called red list will number 39 when the latest restrictions take effect. More on these stories, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Carl and Linda Bott. It is the 2nd of April, 8:05 in the morning, and Linda has the weather.
And good morning, everybody. 55 degrees right now. Sunny with a high of 79 was what we're reaching for today. Beautiful skies, mostly clear tonight with our overnight lows of 49. Tomorrow calls for mostly sunny, 75 again, and Sunday, 73, mostly clear skies Sunday night, lows of 46 on Easter Sunday. Monday calls for a slight chance of showers, then Sunday with a high of 65 and overnight lows of 43, and then Tuesday with a 73 sunny sky once again. And the weather is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, located in Anderson, family-owned business where they do give veteran and senior discounts, 365-3793. Now, can I talk about something?
Sure.
Something, because sure. I think you spent time in the South, and it's just so interesting because when people talk about cicadas, or cicadas, but I call them cicadas, were you ever in the South when the cicadas hit?
Yes.
Okay. So now, of course, we've heard about this, that they have been living underground. There's some that are 14 to 13 years. They live under the ground, and they about 2 feet deep down, they feed on sap and tree roots. Once they mature, so they're down there, imagine that, underground. The brood will emerge where they'll spend 2 to 4 weeks in late May and early June courting, mating, flying, driving people crazy, and being eaten by everything. The adults will then lay their large eggs in trees, which will hatch about 4 to 6 weeks later. Now, when you hear about this swarm, it's not the end of the world when they talk about locusts and everything, but it's the males that are calling the females to then breed and then lay these eggs. But this is so interesting how loud they get, because it's a swarming sound. Male cicadas contract rigid membranes on their abdomens to make the sound, which is amplified by their almost hollow abdomens. Each species has its own sound, and this chorus can reach 90 to 100 decibels. This is as loud as a lawn mower. We've got this measurement of decibels, like jet air taking off is a 140, a jackhammer at 6 feet is 130. But one Australian cicada species is said to be the loudest insect on earth, reaching 120 decibels at close range. So these are going to be, again,
they're past the loud range.
90 to 100 decibels. A 90 also would be equivalent to a lawnmower at 3 feet. So can you imagine if you were just a really highly sensitive person? I wonder if earplugs make a big surge. At this time.
Well, you know what? I've been around cicadas, and they are everywhere. They are everywhere, and they're the longest lived insect species in the world.
On your car windshield.
Oh, there you drive over them, and they are noisy. They're just noisy, and of course it's during the summer when a lot of people, when I was growing up, didn't have air conditioning. So you had your windows open and a fan on, and the cicadas could keep you awake, because it wasn't like, okay, let's all go to bed at midnight. No, they don't go to bed at midnight. They continue to mate throughout this whole time frame, and when they do that, the males are constantly making this very loud, raucous noise.
Billions of cicadas set to swarm parts of 15 states, D.C., that's all they need. In just a few weeks. So when I spent time, it was in Tennessee and Kentucky, and I remember that. But I don't know if it was something that I just remember you could go outside and you'd hear it. And it wasn't really necessarily, wasn't it dusk more, Carl, do you recall?
It always seemed like it, but it was really, it was, I was a kid around.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it was it seemed continuous, but it could have been, it could have picked up a lot more at dusk because, you know, candlelight, dinners.
It says something about the brood X is one of the largest and mostly broadly distributed groups in periodical cicadas. They can be found from northern Georgia to New York, west to the Mississippi River, and to the Midwest. There can be as many as 1.5 million cicadas per acre, which brings the broad population into the trillions.
Trillions.
So, I think about my girlfriend. My best girlfriend, I mean, we joined the Gold Diggers together. I was 19, she was 24. We went on the road. We became like, we were roommates. We just somehow, you know, you teamed off with there were six of us, and we teamed off with, you know, joined rooms, and we always end up being roommates because we just got on so well. So
she was the only one that wouldn't complain when your mom called at 8 o'clock every morning.
Well, she moved to Texas. Last year, April 1st, actually, would have been when it's been a year. And she loves it. She feels like she's in her, she's been a Southern California girl her whole life. So she feels like she is really at home. But since she's been there, of course, they moved during COVID. Then she has gone through breast cancer and the chemo and the radiation. And then, of course, the storms. And now I can only imagine what that's going to be like for her, because she said there were these bugs, not these bugs, not cicadas, but there's these bugs that ring in the back of her house that are back in some gulch or something. And she says, my God, they're, it's like an electrical wire buzzing. Now, she has no idea about a cicada. I mean, hello.
Brood X is going to emerge this year. And, okay, there's different broods throughout the whole, you know. Jeez. I was going to say, I lived in Missouri when I was a child, and we went out to my grandparents' house, which is a farm out in Missouri. And that's where I heard it so loud, but it's throughout Missouri. But Brood X is coming out. And if you live in Indiana, parts of Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Maryland, Delaware, North Carolina.
Is Tennessee
and
in
parts,
there?
Yeah, North Carolina, Tennessee, yeah. And Georgia, at northern Georgia. You're going to be hit with trillions of cicadas.
Yep.
So stand by.
So just have cicada soup and just get over it. We don't want to be at a barbecue right now.
Well, you know what? Cicada soup may not be bad.
They probably have to start figuring out how can they join. You're not going to beat the crowd. You might as well join it. So let's just do cicada-thon.
Well, they get everywhere.
Uh-huh.
If you've ever been around cicadas,
little cocktail ornaments.
You can wear them as necklaces. You can put them in your hair.
Yes.
No, I mean, they're everywhere. I mean, and it's not like you can avoid them.
And they're an inch long.
Oh, yeah. And they fly.
Yeah. And they said, like, they have red eyes. I'm looking at it. Red eyes. Just, whoa. Okay.
Part of the joys. You know, I always thought it was more of a southern thing, but obviously it's not. It's all over the United States. Okay, we're going to take a quick break, come back. Hopefully Congressman LaMalfa will be calling in. And if not, I want to talk about what's going on in Georgia here. With this new bill they passed, people act like they've taken away the right for everybody to vote down there when it is just the opposite. But why aren't you hearing that? 8:13 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Redding Electric Utility. Are you thinking about purchasing an electric car? REU has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofredding.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. We'll be right back, 8:13 in the morning, here on the 2nd of April.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Orchard Nutrition Center, your local neighborhood health food store. We are dedicated to the healthy lifestyle, and we strive for a high standard to carry organic, GMO-free, and clean healthy products.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
Because you are worth it.
We have certified nutritionists on staff that take pride in helping you. Supporting local, we are all in it together. Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Don't miss This Morning with Gordon Deal, followed by the Sue McClain News Hour, Free Fire Radio, and Armstrong and Getty on KCNR.
You have to turn that up a little bit.
Well, if you
that
live in
as
a,
high as it goes.
If you live in a suburb or rural area,
enough of cicadas.
No, Albany down to North Carolina. You may have noticed dozens of holes, maybe half an inch across, have mysteriously appeared in the ground and around the trees or shrubs. This is just a phenomenon that happens. So that's the sound, but that is not nearly. Imagine that trillion sounds of that. Anyway, we're talking about cicadas. We're back now. What do you have on there? What do you have on your list?
Well, I'd like to talk about a little bit about the hypocrisy going on down in Georgia again. The fact is that even President Biden has just lied about what's about the Georgia bill. And here's some facts for you, my friends. When they say, and himself, Mr. Biden, has said, oh, they won't even let you bring water to people waiting in line. It's a lie. It's a lie. Of course it's a lie. But see, what they do is they take one part of it and then they act like the whole thing is like this. But it says, you know, oh, they're cutting back the number of days that people can vote in Georgia. Lie, lie. One of the things it says, it requires that large precincts with lines more than an hour long take steps like adding voting machines and election personnel for the next election to reduce wait times. It does not change the number of total early voting days. It actually increases the mandatory days of early weekend voting, adding Sundays. Many of the black community said we have rallies and this is when we like to go to the polls. So they've added Sundays. Compared to 2020, 134 of 159 counties will offer more early voting hours in future elections under the new law. It codifies election drop boxes, which did not exist prior to 2020. Voters can continue to vote absentee with no excuse on, you know, states like Delaware, New York, and Connecticut, which require an excuse to vote absentee. As you know, around here in California, you can vote absentee, but you have to sign up, you have to register, you have to show all these things. It does just not a willy-nilly envelope sent up. It also says it claims it eliminates souls to the polls, suppressing minority votes, but again, that's false. The Georgia law was silent on Sunday early voting days prior to SB 202, and in 2020, only 16 of 159 counties offered early voting on Sundays. In reality, the law explicitly provides the option of holding early voting on two Sundays for all localities, therefore increasing mandatory days for early weekend voting. They've also said that the myth of suppressing votes with new voter ID requirements, noting that the vast majority of registered voters, 97%, already have a valid form of ID, and adding that one can be obtained for free. So if you tell me, and this is the plantation mentality of the Democratic Party, what they're saying is people of color just can't get an ID. That is such a racist comment. How could you even say something like that? Of course people of color are bright enough to get an ID. To say they're not is just sad. Of course they can. People of color can get it. White people can get it. Anybody can get an ID. You have to show an ID for everything. To go into the movies, to buy a pack of cigarettes, to anything. Get on a plane. You've got to have ID. Are you saying that nobody can possibly have, if let me put it this way. My friends, if somebody can't get an ID, then maybe they shouldn't vote, because if it's too hard to get an ID in today's culture, then you're doing something wrong. The other says is that they just want to know who's voting. They don't, and they're going to clean up the election rolls. What's wrong with that? If you haven't scrubbed the election rolls in years,
yeah. How do you know how many people have we known just in this last year? In this last 2 years, how many people, unfortunately and sadly, have passed away? Well, somehow. Some of those things don't reach, obviously, that information doesn't reach some election areas. And also when you have several ballots sent to homes, correct?
That's it. Now, the other part on this is Georgia has codified laws preventing political groups from handing out food or water to voters in line as an incentive to vote. But specifically allows poll workers to make water available to anyone who wants it. The law will also directly cut down wait times, meaning refreshment for people waiting in the line will be less necessary. Again, another lie that was said out there. You know, they used the term myth. No, it's just a lie. This is what the airlines, I think Delta Airlines, put out this thing, oh, we condemn this. Well, what the state of Georgia legislature said, fine, you want to condemn this without even reading it, which has been pointed out, they haven't read it. So what do they do? Okay, fine, let's just take away your tax breaks, you know, where you didn't have to pay the tax on gas, those kind of things. Let's go to the phones. Christian, good morning.
Good morning. First off, Linda, Carl, thank you so much for that last segment. It was just so vital and refreshing to hear. And I think it substantiates the mission that both Carl and Linda have is being open-minded and open to all points of view. It's really important.
Well, you know what? Yes. It's our community. We have if we had, I just can't imagine it. But you know, to me, as like so many other people in Reddings, and the vast majority of people is, you know what? Treat other people the way you want to be treated yourself. That's the whole thing.
Well, as long as you're healthy and not mentally ill, you know what
well,
I mean?
That
yeah. And so, you know, I want to just throw a couple of things out on Georgia here.
Okay.
And I would encourage people to go to Brennan, Brennan, Center for Justice, and it talks about this issue specifically. And Georgia's an interesting case. As we remember, Donald Trump had called the officials there in Georgia and tried to get, let's say, perhaps them to swing the vote
No, that's not what he said. Christian, I hardly disagree with that because they have proven New York Times or WAPO actually had to print a retraction on that. That's not what was said. He did not say that.
What we had, Carl, was they actually had the phone call. And
that's
I would
right.
Urge people to, I would listen to that phone call.
I just know
find
it was
a
what,
way to get yeah. me. Find a way to get me, you know. And so anyway, here's the main concern, though. The main concern is over 250 bills have been submitted to state legislatures throughout the country that are controlled by the Republican Party to basically address voting issues. Now, this is the main concern. Just like in Georgia, they have taken away the power of the vote referendum. I'm not too sure how it was. They took away from Brad Raffensperger, Raffensperger, the power of being in control of the elections and have turned it over to the legislatures. And that's exactly what Trump was trying to do, was get the legislatures to void the Electoral College vote. And that's exactly what Doug LaMassa was trying to do, so that the state legislatures could bypass the Electoral College or the vote as mandated by the people and send their own electors.
Well, let me answer that. The state election board can do performance reviews of local election supervisors who fail the area's voters with things like long lines and unfilled absentee ballot requests. The board will not overturn election results. The law simply provides a process to review and ensure officials are technically competent.
Well, and you know what? I think we all have to agree that that's waiting in line to vote.
It's wrong. Right. There should be more days for voting. There should be easier ways to vote.
Yeah.
But don't you want, and we've got to run because the, Congressman LaMoff is on the phone, but don't you agree that every vote in the country for any office should be an honest vote?
Well, of course. And as Donald Trump tried to stipulate, not 15 times, not 28 times, not 38 times.
I'm not saying anything. That's a separate issue. Do you believe that that people should be able to show ID to vote?
Well, I think that would be the ultimate ultimate solution. For instance, one of the Wyoming or Idaho, I'm not too sure, requires they are requiring a yellow star on your driver's license to prove that you're able to vote.
Okay.
So listen, here's just in closing, I think that we have to make sure, and that's why H.R. 1 and the Voting Rights Act is so important. We have to make sure that we can do just exactly what you said.
Well, I tell you what, according to H.R. 1, as far as I'm concerned, and Christian, by the way, to close this up, Christian's show debuts tomorrow at 9 o'clock on KCNR 96.5 FM. And I'm sure he'll be glad to talk to you about this. Okay, we got to run.
And would you ask Doug LaMassa if he'll be on the show?
Okay, I'll do that. Thanks a lot, Christian.
Thank you.
Good morning, Congressman LaMassa.
How are you doing?
Well, we just had we have a new show that's starting tomorrow called Common Ground, and the host was just on, and Common Ground is Christian Gardiner, who is very, very much a liberal, and he's a self-professed, happy liberal.
I just want to point out, you did say 9 o'clock, it actually starts at 8 o'clock.
8, okay. Good morning, Doug.
No, it starts at 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock is when Rob Burrow's show starts.
It's 9 o'clock.
Okay.
Don't.
All right, so
things
so
have changed.
Things have changed. All right.
9 o'clock.
Good morning, Doug.
Anyway, 9 a.m.
9 a.m. with the happy liberal, huh?
Well, yeah. And he said, can you ask Congressman LaMoffa to come on the show? Hey, good morning, Congressman. How are you?
I'd give it a shot.
Why not?
To talk to people about things instead of just having yelling matches.
Exactly. You know what? He's cool about that. He doesn't get into screaming matches so far that I've known of. I've talked to him several times. Okay. The things, I've got to start out with the border. I just have to. It has become I mean, hasn't it become almost a medical disaster down there, a COVID disaster, a people disaster, yet nothing seems to be done?
It's unbelievable. You know, how many people do you know than I know that just say, what is going on? Nothing makes sense of what's going on with our people doing the governing here, and or at least the majorities. You know, we've got some of us trying to, you know, put some common sense into things. But this border situation, you know, when you send the green light signal back in November, like, hey, we're going to open it up, and they hear it, they're going to come. You build it, you offer it, they're going to come. And so there should be nothing surprising about the facilities being overwhelmed by people. And so when President Trump had an agreement with the President of Mexico to, you know, that those folks are going to not be allowed across the U.S.-Mexico border, that Mexico is going to have to find something new, and then that put the onus on them to defend their own southern border from those folks coming up from the so-called triangle, right?
Yeah.
So you're putting an incentive out. And this isn't about asylum. I think everybody, you know, would have sympathy for asylum. You've got people being oppressed in other countries. But on the other hand, we're not supposed to be the permanent solution to that. You know, we still have 20-plus-year-old situations with the earthquake that happened in Central America where people are still here as a relief for an earthquake. That, well, you know, a couple years, fine, but this is not something that the taxpayers of the United States and the students trying to get into school or college have to keep bearing when our government is so magnanimous that they keep up the getaway. So the giveaway, this border situation is an embarrassment to our country, and it's a giant security problem. It's obviously an impact upon our government's services that are provided along the border that really should be provided for people. You know, until all of our veterans, for example, have everything they need, why the heck are we putting people on airplanes and flying around our country so they can, since it's overwhelmed down there? Does nobody care about what anything costs? Does nobody care that the signal we keep sending is just going to be a greater burden? You say, well, this is about being humane. You know, you got Jen Psaki, the little red-haired gal on there every day. This is about having a humane system instead of the Trump one. Well, if this is how you get to find humane, then we should be sending cruise ships and 747s to every poor country in the world and bringing them here, if, you know, using that logic, right? So we'd be loading them up in Asia and all that and bringing them in, because unless we're doing that, then I guess we're not being very humane.
Well, the thing that bothers me is, well, there's many things about this that bother me. When they talk about holding areas that's for 86 people and there's 600 people in it, you know, where is, you know, the hypocrisy of our press just, you know, just completely astounds me in one way, but it's not surprising in others. If Trump had 1,700% overcrowding in areas, you don't think that would have been front page news? And the other part being that 10% of the people coming across the border have got COVID and they're not treating them. They're just letting them go in with everybody else, which is a super spreader. And then we're putting them on buses and planes into the interior. Does anybody actually think that this is under control and this isn't a crisis?
People with common sense don't think it's under control. That's where it'd be fun to listen to your new show on Saturday there to see what somebody like that can make of that, because we're standing there, we're speaking out on it, we're petitioning the president and other folks back there. Look at this. You know, many of my colleagues are made some border tours. There's about 18 senators down the other day. You may have seen where Ted Cruz was reporting back on that. And, you know, so we're all doing headstands to make sure that we have a mask on for walking around outside. Excuse me. And we're, you know, being bullied into taking this vaccine. And this is what's going on at the border. The hypocrisy, the comparison, it makes no sense to people. And our powers that be, at the end of the day, can't really be about either COVID safety or being humane, because it doesn't make sense. We're attracting people and putting them in a more inhumane situation with the way they're being stacked up in these facilities mm-hmm. there by, you know, eightfold over capacity or so.
That brings me to something else. You just rolled out a legislative package banning COVID vaccine passports, which has been mentioned at the highest levels in our government. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we have two tiers on that. First one is a narrower bill that should be a little easier to move and sell. It's basically implying that you should not be required to have a passport to use the normal carriers for transportation, you know, airlines, Amtrak, should bus services start requiring that? You should not have to first get a vaccine and produce a passport, as they're calling it, to simply use these things. What have we been doing for a year, Carl? Linda, what have we been doing for a year? We've been bottled up, but we've still been getting around. I mean, I've been on every single airplane ride to go back to D.C. and do our session work, you know. And, in the first week, there was hardly anybody on the plane. The airlines, I'm sure, were getting killed on the price of doing business. But, you know, that's where the CARES Act came in. But the planes are getting more and more where you're three wide. You got people in the middle seat and such. And so this thing is on the wane anyhow. And we don't need to have the requirement for us to prove somehow we've got a vaccine. You can still wear the mask. You can still take other means to provide the level of safety that they purport that they want you to do. At the same time, they're letting people cross the border untreated, or Mrs. Pelosi's letting positive members into the chamber so she can get a speaker vote done on January 3, you know? Full of hypocrisy here. So the bottom line with the bill is that I should not be required to get a vaccine and have it on an app on my phone to prove to somebody to do normal things we've been doing for a year, okay? So if you're taking, you know, normal precautions, you ever get the temperature taken or they certify that you haven't been exposed or are carrying it, that works good enough. We don't have massive widespread right now from using transportation. And it's just going to keep narrowing as the herd immunity moves along. I think that's a tremendous problem for our individual liberties. I don't want my medical information on an app inside my iPhone or whatever. If at the worst, you know, when you get your injection, if you get it, if you choose to get it, then they can hand you a card right there on the spot on their little certified piece of paper that you can put in your wallet, you know, if you want to. But I don't think I should have to show
something like that. And the reason being is that, it smacks of government control. What if you don't have it then? You know, what if you can't take the vaccine? What if you are allergic to things and they won't give you the vaccine? Maybe you're not even
all
old
the above.
Enough. All of those
We're
things.
We're addressing that because you have people
That's
with
your second
types
bill.
Of allergies.
Uh-huh.
And it sounds an awful lot like, our papers are not in order, you know.
Yes.
And this is it. This is not the country that we all grew up in and, you know, are trying to defend and all that. So, but they're taking advantage of this time right now where everybody's scared. Everybody's used to have their liberties trampled for the last, you know, 9-10 months. And like, oh, we better just go get the vaccine. Oh, we better just get the passport, you know. I mean, those are individual choices.
Mm-hmm.
The vaccine, I don't even like to really call it a vaccine. It's an injection. And the vaccine in two out of the three types isn't truly a vaccine. I guess the Johnson & Johnson one could be deemed a vaccine because it uses some form of the virus in dead version. My understanding, I'm not a medical guy.
The other one. Yeah, Pfizer.
The single injection one, or did you take the double?
I took the double. Linda and I took that.
Yeah.
Had no reaction.
That's not a vaccine, from what I understand.
No, that's what they called it. So,
it's an mRNA, I think. I think it's mRNA, and it has something to do with changing your.
It changes. From what I understand, it locks onto RNA, not DNA. So.
Yeah.
When I read about it. So
a lot of people have questions about this, and they shouldn't be forced into it. I don't think you should be forced into taking any vaccine, even to put your kids in school. You know, the bigger issue is a liberty issue for me. And that's why we're running that legislation. And the broader one we're going to have is that no company can force you to use it or show a passport to come in and, you know, go to Home Depot or something like that. You know, so there's protocols out there that can already be safe, in quotes, and we're getting like along fine. Many people have been able to go into any of the big box retailers for a long time here and just play along with the mask and call it good. So we don't need to have this level of control and this level of government information. And as you said, people that can't get don't feel like they can take the vaccine. You know, there's those that don't want that injection because they might have some type of allergy that would put them down. You know, people with peanut allergies and other similar ones, they don't know what this is going to do to them. So that means they're now a second-class citizen because they haven't complied with a bureaucrat that's changing their mind every day about what we're supposed to be doing, such as CDC guidelines and Fauci guidelines, you know. I mean, there's just too many holes in this thing.
It seems like the number of things are happening. We've had one press conference with Mr. Biden. Have you had a chance to observe him any closer than the rest of us?
No, I haven't. I haven't been around him in the same room in, I think since December of 2013.
Vice President Harris was put in charge of the border situation. You know, we haven't had one statement from her in 10 days about what's going on.
She doesn't want the job. She doesn't want that job.
Do you think it was a surprise when he said, I'm appointing Vice President Harris as being in charge of the border? I mean, did the look on her face kind of like go, what?
Well, if you could see through the mask, right?
Yeah, but, it was like, huh? Joe, you should have told me. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if they finally, you know, brought me to
the sense,
but,
you know, getting closer, Congressman, you started to fade out again.
Okay, sorry. When Mike Pence was asked to do the job of heading things up, you know, in the whole COVID response, you know, he did it gracefully and, you know, capably by Trump. And, you know, Kamala Harris said, I don't want that job. She just wants to continue tackling her way through, you know, her vice presidency, waiting every morning to see if she's going to get the big job. So, you saw, I think, one of the comedians there, or maybe the congressman said that, when she shakes Biden's hand, she's actually checking his pulse at the same time. So.
Oh, that's cruel. Congressman, here's a question from one of our listeners. Does the border crisis deserve military intervention?
You know, I don't think we have to necessarily put military on there. We have to give the Customs and Border Patrol and the like, the resources, the personnel, everything they need to do their job. We need to continue the construction of the border fence. There's gaps in there that could easily be finished. And you take the gaps out and you have something a little more contiguous or continuous, it makes their job much easier. And they've told us that when I've been down there on previous tours. My other colleagues have heard that fence, it doesn't stop the entire border, but it creates a funnel effect where they have to narrow down to less areas that they have to keep track of and patrol. So we don't have to have military per se. I mean, for a short term, maybe we put National Guard for a while. We certainly don't need National Guard standing around in D.C. These are good folks, good guys and gals. I've spoken with them. The fence and the guard, at the very least, need to be moved out of D.C. Capitol and down there for a term. But really, we need to just boost up the personnel down there and give them their ability to do their job. And it means continuing the work on the fence, hiring enough personnel to do the job correctly, but also not sending the signal that we're going to let everybody in to access the benefits and privileges of being a U.S. citizen or resident. You know, I mean, these would be very simple steps we could do immediately. Biden gang don't want to do it because they're fulfilling some kind of a political promise or goal. It really hasn't been about being humane. It's about a political manipulation, I think, about elections. So, but I'm for Carl, for the life of me, I do not understand why more Americans aren't just furious and lighting up the phone lines or going down to the border and protesting or what have you. No, they protest over made up things like, you know, how they're offended by Mr. Potato Head or something.
Hey, Congressman, we do have to take a break. I skipped one. But we do have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'd like to talk to you about this proposed infrastructure bill, which, I mean, $4 trillion.
Oh, my God.
And
yes.
I'd like you to address that. And then I've got a local question I want to ask you, too. So this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop right here in Reading. It's a veteran-owned business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. The only place I've gotten my haircut. And the next time Congressman's in town, we'll take him down to Cypress Square Barbershop, man's last stronghold, so you can get a real haircut there. They work by appointments only, 244-9478. Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll be right back after this break.
Look, staying healthy isn't easy. Watching your diet, hitting the gym, avoiding stress. But a good night's rest helps boost your overall health and wellness. And it couldn't be easier. The new Sleep Number 360 Smart Bed is the only bed that effortlessly adjusts in response to both of you. The result? You wake up ready for anything. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Don't miss our weekend special. The new Queen Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed is only $14.99, plus free premium delivery when you add a base. And Saturday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Head down to Wind River Resort and Casino to enter our Swipe to Win promotion starting April 1st through June 24th. Weekly drawings on Thursday, 6 to 9 p.m. Winners receive bonus entries for the $20,000 final drawing on April 29th. Keep playing for a chance to win a patio boat on May 27th and one of four energy-saving Pedego electric bikes on June 24th. Join us for a safe, comfortable, and fun gaming experience at Wind River Resort and Casino. More drawings, more winners, and more fun. WindRiver.com.
Greetings, North State. Just a reminder here to be sure and tune in to Common Ground Radio Saturday mornings at 9 o'clock. You know, we have much more in common with one another than we normally recognize, but fail to see this thanks to our polarized media that deliberately divides us and demonizes the other side. Common Ground Radio is your progressive call-in talk show for the North State, right here on Radio KCNR, where we seek bipartisan agreement on many issues affecting all of us using respectful, fact-based dialogue and starting for change from the progressive side of the street.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and Linda Bott. It's Friday, 8:47 in the morning, the 2nd of April, 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live.
And currently 56 degrees. It's going to be sunny today with a high near 79, and our overnight lows will be 49 as we progress through the week, and Saturday 75, Sunday with a high of 73 on our beautiful Easter weekend. Monday, slight chance of showers with 65, and Tuesday, 73. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Okay, we're here with Congressman Doug LaMaffa. And when we left, I asked, what's going on with the $4 trillion infrastructure bill? Which, you know, we need to work on our infrastructure, everybody agrees. But it appears that most of the money's not going to infrastructure.
Keeps being the same bait and switch, man. You know, I probably agree to $1 trillion of it, but there's this issue too. I don't want to be so comfortable with this word trillion, Carl and Linda.
No, you know, trillion doesn't go as far as it used to.
Well, if you would actually apply it to what you're building, a trillion does go a long way.
Yeah.
But, you know, by the time of bureaucracy, you know, you study it and you permit it and you have all the preliminaries, you don't get the bang for the buck. You should do anything. We should have more private sector work getting it done. So, you know, obviously, our highways need more capacity. They need more repairs. You hear about more and more bridges that are, you know, becoming brittle, you know.
Yes.
The bridge right there just north of town there. That great big one going over the lake.
Oh, yeah.
And if they ever want to raise the lake, it's going to be integral to that as well. So that could be, you know, a $1 billion bridge there. So they're going to have to talk about that sometime because that's a main artery, I-5, from Canada to Mexico, you know. So there's a lot of things that need to be done, but they put social spending in here. Most of the stuff has very little to do with, they have a lot of climate change stuff and Green New Deal stuff. So, you know, we can negotiate and we can sit down and say, what do we agree on in legislation for infrastructure and get something good done. But when they triple or quadruple the price of what it really should be, we all have to be stewards of the taxpayers' dollars because they work for those. And we don't just take that lightly. So, you know, we have Mayor Pete, who's now the Secretary of Transportation somehow or another. He's proposing, as California has been threatening for a while, we've talked about this before, a per-mile tax. So they want to keep track of all the miles you drive and tax you per mile on that. So what is that going to do for rural people? You know, because we generally have to drive farther for our jobs or go into town to shop, to go to the dock, take kids to school, whatever it's going to be, because our rural life requires it. If you're out there, you know, especially in a resource industry or taking care of the resources, that you know, you're going to get more mileage in. And so once they put this mileage tax in, are they going to get rid of the other tax? You know, because the premise is like, well, there's more and more electric cars, and they're not paying anything because they don't pay anything at the gas pump on the gas tax. Okay, I can see that, but we're going to change everybody's life because there's a few more people driving electric cars. Why don't you just put a mileage fee on them and call it good? Why do we all have to have an app or some type of tracking device on our automobile because more and more people might be buying electric cars, which that's a whole other discussion itself. Because part of this bill is we have to pay for all these electric charging stations and infrastructure for that. Electricity comes from somewhere, and we're going to run into a real big reality on that before much longer. When they get rid of gas stoves and gas, you know, propane and natural gas, things that you can use in your house and your business, say, oh, we don't like that, so it's going to be all electric-powered. We're going to have a giant electric grid problem. They're tearing out dams that make hydroelectric power and relying more and more on wind and solar. So I'll stop there, Carl.
Okay, well, you know, that it just happened, but Mayor Pete pulled that one after people screaming at him like you about them, at least for right now. I don't think it's gone away, but I think he's backed off on that, at least for right now. The mileage tax, but another Democrat said it's time to raise the gas tax. It hasn't been raised in a decade or two. That's
scary.
Well,
you and your listeners remember, you know, that doesn't mean the tax doesn't raise. When prices go up, the sales tax is still riding up, you know, proportionally every time gas prices go up.
Yeah.
It isn't just evil oil companies or your corner gas guy that is making a higher margin on the oil, on the oil product. Government's going for the ride too. They're getting more sales tax, and they're not unhappy about it when it goes from 2.5 to $4 or up $5. So yeah, the federal excise tax, the gas tax, those might stay frozen at a certain level, but you want me as your legislator to vote for that too, on top of everything else? That's what these guys want. You know, we've got to raise the gas tax. So what are you doing already? You're putting a bunch of the money that goes from the gas pump to transit projects. You know, those half-empty buses driving around town or half-empty or quarter-full rail cars driving around Sacramento and this ridiculous high-speed rail project that they're still trying to make happen in California. I mean, you're being disrespectful to people when you're telling them they need to pay more and you're not using the money that they're already paying towards the thing that they would actually be able to use.
Congressman, Bill Maher, who could be considered somewhat liberal, had a he talked about...
considered somewhat of a jackass, I would say.
Well, yeah, but he every so often, you got to listen to what he's, you know, I do it by if it comes out on a different media platform. But what he said about us in China, but the other thing he said is, of course, you don't want to have a government like China, which is, you know, it's oppressive. You have no rights, you know, but they get things done. And then we have our form of democratic republic that we seem to be tied in knots. Is our Congress functional right now?
Behind the scenes, we do have some level of function here. Like, you know, we're working on things in our Ag Committee. We're working on a Ag Labor Bill, which has a certain amount of controversy around it, but it's a solution. We're working on forestry. I've got Democrat colleagues that we work quite well with on some of these things. And so, you know, we have to make some kind of progress on this stuff without compromising your belief system and your values on it. And we can do that. But the rhetoric that you see most of the time is the fireworks. So, you know, he has a point. You know, China can just push a button and boom, they've built five more dams and 20 more coal-fired power plants. And, you know, so there's something.
Three aircraft carriers in the fleet that goes with them, which is very concerning.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and look at us. We can't figure out what gender you should be in order to be in the
military.
And we got all that stuff going on in the military right now as we're trying to be a social structure, and China's very focused on building theirs up. I mean, it's a good thing we had a great big lead ahead of time, and but our lead doesn't stay forever in our technology, our ability, when we keep undermining the ability and the morale of our military. I don't know why young people would want to join these days with what these guys have on the horizon for telling people that if your belief system is wrong, that you might be a racist. You might need to be on a list, you know?
Have any of your colleagues raised the point about cutting the defense budget?
You mean attempting to do so?
Yes.
I'm sure the Dems are talking about that. We haven't really had a real budget lately. They're going to try and pass another skeleton of a budget so they have the ability to use the budget reconciliation to get 51 votes through the Senate, which is that's a long story, but they pass a shell budget, which means, hey, we have a budget, now we can do budget reconciliation. That's how the last $1.9 trillion spending bill passed, with only 51 votes instead of the normal 60, because they used it under budget reconciliation. They had to stay within a certain boundaries for it to qualify as that. So I'm sure that there's those that would like to continue to cut military spending or have it diverted into something else. They would want the military to be more green. They'd want it to be more conscious of climate change and the way it operates. And that doesn't give us defense readiness. That doesn't make our personnel have what they need. But so it's about, you know, there's plenty of people on the Democrat side that do not like the military. They do not like the police. They do not like the law and order angle, for whatever reason that's logical to them. And so cutting the military, they're fine. Cutting the police, they're fine. Now, isn't it amazing to watch these cities that have made these funding reductions to police, or they're having to put it back in place? You know, New York, I think, put some more in. I think maybe Minneapolis and Seattle, because their personnel.
Atlanta just is in the process of hiring 250 more police. Atlanta, after the murder rate has risen so fast.
Yeah. Well, who could have predicted this, right, Carl?
Yeah. Congressman, we're running out of time. I got 2 minutes for last thoughts here.
Just ask me something.
The Texas baseball teams are they're starting their season with a full stadium, and Dr. Fauci is apoplectic and is frothing at his mouth for people doing that. Texas seems to be doing well. What's going on in California?
The states that stayed open are seeing good results. You know, Ron DeSantis, the governor in Florida, who was a colleague in the House when I came in. It's amazing to see these guys going to become governors. DeSantis, I think, is a real rising star because they've addressed things. He's taken the heat, and Florida's well on its way back with freedom. And New York is messed up as ever. You know, Governor Cuomo needs to be taken out. And it's really sad that it wasn't the tens, you know, the thousands that suffered in those rest homes with COVID patients, that it took a sexual harassment thing to get people's attention on Cuomo.
Yeah,
so,
but even then, they've, you know, he's just riding it through. I mean, there's been 12 women.
He ain't going anywhere. He's stubborn. He doesn't classy thing like, well, the rest are told to step down and resign. He's going to ride it out until you take him out. So it's, you know, good old New York thuggery right there. So But at this point, when we're more concerned about distorting, like the legislation passed in Atlanta on election security.
Right.
That is one of the biggest deceptions going on right now by the media and on the left. And these twits they have as CEOs of, like, Delta, okay? This is not the values that Delta has of excluding people from voting. Read what the stuff is in the bill. It's nothing about that.
Yeah. We addressed that a little bit earlier, but you're right. You're right.
Corporations are not our friends. They're afraid of their own shadow. If the left was to start complaining about anything, and the left on this election situation, you know, people out there that I know of that thought the Trump election was taken from them, or at least distorted, and a lot of games played with how the ballots were sent out. These are the reforms that they're demanding when Georgia's doing it and other states are legislating to tighten up.